Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 547 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, and full disclosure, I started recording earlier and I looked down and noticed that the microphone wasn't plugged in, so I didn't say anything earth-shattering or profound in those first probably, what, three or so minutes of the podcast, not even 3 minutes. So I'm going to start from scratch, and you wouldn't know that, but I'm being, I don't know, in the mood to be blunt and honest. And honestly, this week I had planned to have Chad on the podcast as a co-host. Always try to make that work, and this week got away from me. No excuse, really. I am recording this on Mother's Day. Typically, Chad and I record on Sunday mornings, usually. And with it being Mother's Day, my kids came over. We spent the day with my wife. We were going to do some projects here at the house. We actually did a couple. One of them was going to be to paint the podcast studio here, but that did not happen. As if you're watching, you can see that, but hopefully in the next week or two, you'll see some changes. I don't know that we're going to get to it this upcoming week. My daughter graduates from community college, so we're looking forward to that. And it's the same college that I work at, so I'm busy gearing up for not only her graduation, but the graduation for hundreds of other students that are going to be participating as well. So saying all that to say, you may not notice the changes quite yet, but eventually you will. It's been an, you know, today I say as in Sunday, May 11th, it is Mother's Day. I've talked before, my mom, the last holiday that we spent with my mom was 2 years ago, Mother's Day. My wife and two of our kids and my dad got together and had lunch. And it was the last time, unfortunately, that we saw my mom. And she died about 3 weeks later. My parents lived in St. Louis at the time. We're in Southern Illinois. We had made plans to go up the following, she passed away in early June, and we were going to go up that next weekend to see them for, see my dad specifically, but obviously see her for Father's Day. But unfortunately, she had passed just a week or so before that. But not trying to be Debbie Downer, and going to keep moving forward and keep this portion of the podcast, because it is an in memoriam, because today we learned that, I say today again, on Sunday, May 11th, we learned that Sabu passed away. And I'll talk more about him and some of my memories of him in just a few minutes. But wanted to quickly, this is going to be a short, brief podcast this week. You know, I was talking earlier when I realized that I was talking to no one because I didn't have my mic plugged in, that the brand, the My 1-2-3 Cents brand, you know, the YouTube channel specifically, and I'm hoping that if you are watching on YouTube or if you're listening, you'll go and check out the YouTube channel, because there's a lot of shorts. I've been uploading a ton of shorts, some wrestling related, but other content, Poor Decisions, which is my beer review show, as well as the Huntsberger Chronicles. And those are, you know, usually between a minute and 90 seconds, sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter. I'm just trying to put more content out there and get a diversify the stuff that is going out there as well. Obviously, the core of this podcast is going to continue to be wrestling related. once a month, though, I do veer off the wrestling track and talk about other things. Did that last week. So if you haven't already, please check out that episode. Let me know what you thought of it. Let me know what you think of my 1-2-3 cents in general. You know, leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, leave a review in the YouTube comment section, on Facebook, follow along on the My 1-2-3 cents Facebook page, or as well as the My 1-2-3 cents Facebook group. Try to post different things in both of those areas to get, again, that diversity, not diversity, that diversification of content and folks that are following along, watching, commenting, and sharing their 1-2-3 cents on everything. But I did want to briefly talk also about Backlash. It was in St. Louis, and I am going to be quite honest. I sent in an email multiple times, actually, to WWE when I learned that Backlash was coming to St. Louis. They get a ton of requests. Now that they do the press conferences after the shows, I was trying to get my 1-2-3 cents in there. And it's hard because I don't view myself as just a podcaster. I am a former journalist with 22 years of experience in TV news. I'm not just some guy with a camera and a microphone and an idea to do a podcast, even though I've done this podcast for almost 10 and a half years now. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. And I am grateful for the time that I spent in TV, and I have moved on from there, but I am still, I feel like, you know, I consider myself, I'm not going to go and be foolish and try to ask dumb questions or make anything about me if I ever get the opportunity to attend one of these press conferences. And I, you know, I'm doing it the way that I only know how to do it, and that is to request it through their website, which is what the instructions say. And so if anyone's out there and happens to know or is listening or even cares, I would love, again, just the opportunity to go and attend and ask a question or two and use the content here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel and the other social media platforms that are out there. But I wasn't surprised that I didn't hear back. And again, I emailed them three different times just because they say by the sheer volume of emails they get. And I know that there are people with a lot higher followings and more views and all that than what my 1-2-3 cents has. So again, I aspirationally just trying to break through that next level. You know, I know I'm not going to be Chris Van Vliet or Conrad Thompson, but I do want to elevate the brand and move my 1-2-3 cents up the ladder a little bit. And, you know, I would love for people to want to listen and look forward to the podcast and look forward to watching and look forward to buying my 1-2-3 cents merchandise or, you know, Pro Wrestling Tees has the micro brawlers. I would love that. You know, there's a certain level of commitment to creating the little micro brawlers. I'd love a Mondo brawler. That would be so cool. That would be so cool. And I've used AI to give Mondo some new looks and legs and because he's right now, it's just the monkey's torso and head. So trying to do more to build the brand. And I'm not going to harp on that and continue talking about it. But again, Backlash, St. Louis, 2 hours away. It's my hometown. St. Louis, not St. Louis proper, but I grew up in the St. Louis area. I went to many, many wrestling shows at the Kiel Auditorium, which is now the Enterprise Center, which is where Backlash was. I went to the very first Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood in 1997. Ironically enough, Chad was there. We didn't know each other back then. It'd be about 7 years before we would meet, but attended that event. Chad and I went to a Monday Night Raw there back in 2007. Matt, I guess Money in the Bank. We went to Money in the Bank. Chad was there with his nephew. My buddy Weston went, Tyler, Heath Hatton, Lane, the late great Lane Farrell, Garrett Turner, who is Dexter Roswell. I think Jay Spade was, there was a group of us from Stride that went, and I can't remember everyone that was there, but we went and had fun. I think that was probably the last time I was at a wrestling show at the Enterprise Center there in St. Louis. So would love to go back, and I I guess I wasn't 100% motivated to go. And I think watching the show, and I had some friends that were there that were sending me snaps and keeping me abreast of things that were happening during the show. I did watch live, so very short card, small card. And I wonder, and this is kind of a question of the day, if you will, a question of the week, if you paid, and I don't know what ticket. I looked at the last minute and ticket prices were in the $200, $250 range for pretty decent looking seats. So I don't know if they dropped them because they had tickets available or if that's what tickets were. But I'm asking to find out, you know, WrestleMania obviously was in some cases thousands of dollars for fans, but the show was also several hours. And it seemed like Backlash was probably right at about 2 hours, maybe a little over 2 hours, 2.5 tops. Five matches, you know, does that impact your enjoyability if you paid, you know, a couple hundred dollars to go to a show and it's only a couple of hours long? Like, what is the expectation for you as a fan to go to a show? How long is too long and how short is too short? You know, you often hear complaints, you know, back in the day when WrestleMania was one night and it was like 8 or 9 hours. And then you look at some AEW shows, you know, the pay-per-views are pretty lengthy. Some indie shows you go to, I was always proud of Stride for kind of keeping it in that 2.5 hour mark for $10. I mean, you can't get a better value for your dollar than that. But I wonder what is that sweet spot for a wrestling show? I think for a pay-per-view, it's probably right at 3 hours. And much longer than that, and in my opinion, you're going to run into fan fatigue, audience fatigue. I think WWE keeps, especially on these non-big four shows, they keep them moving pretty quick. I thought the card was pretty good. I you know, and I guess someone made it up on Facebook and had the graphic and everything. I thought we were getting a Roman Reigns, CM Punk versus Braun Breaker and Seth Rollins match. And then I looked at the final card and I'm like, well, that's not happening. I mean, whoever made it, it looked legit. So kudos to them. But often that post WrestleMania pay-per-view is a lot of WrestleMania rematches or you know, some of the fallout from WrestleMania. And, you know, obviously we threw Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest into that US title match, made it a little more interesting. I was happy to see that all the champions retained. I thought for a moment Randy Orton might pull off the win in St. Louis. It's an interesting dynamic, and I think that the Cena heel turn, and maybe Chad and I will talk more about this down the road and we can articulate it better, or I can maybe articulate it better myself. It just to me feels like he is, and I think I said this on a previous podcast, it feels like he's playing the role of a bad guy, and he's not really a bad guy. Because I guess, unlike Hulk Hogan, who I think got to the point when he turned heel in 96, that people were ready to turn on him. And I think now in 2025, fans were not ready to turn on John Cena, knowing that it is his last hurrah. And I think a lot of fans have speculated that he's gonna end it on a high note and end it as a face. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he does go out as this bad guy and this dick and holds on to the belt and is the last real champion. And we'll have to wait and see. That's what is exciting about wrestling. Is even though sometimes it is predictable, this storyline, this angle isn't. I could see it going multiple ways. So we'll have to wait and kind of see how it all plays out and where we go from here. But I'm enjoying the ride. I thought the Gunther and Pat McAfee match exceeded my expectations. I wasn't sure what to expect with it. And I know Pat McAfee isn't. I know he's an announcer. He's had, I think, eight matches. I think Saturday night was his eighth match. I don't view him as just an announcer, though, because of his athletic background, you know, playing football and whatnot. But he's also not a wrestler, so it all worked. It made sense to me the way that he stood up for his friend and Michael Cole, and you know, had that heart of gold going and coming, making the comeback and trying to beat Gunther. And there were a couple moments there where I thought it was going to happen too. I'm glad it didn't. The story played out the way I think as a fan, I wanted to see it play out. I was not disappointed with anything from Saturday Night Show. I do think, but I think this is all part of the whole Cena heel venture is the multiple ref bumps and using the belt and all this and that. I saw, and I don't know if it's true or not, again, those graphics so good these days that we're going to get R-Truth versus John Cena at Saturday night's main event, which will be interesting. I mean, I don't think anybody expects R-Truth to win that one, but it's going to be interesting to see again how this story continues to develop and grow and moving forward. So I believe that Saturday night's main event is actually coming up at the end of the month too. So Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend. So we'll see where that goes and what happens with that. And now to kind of transition back into the, sad news of the day, of the weekend, of the week, maybe, is the passing of Sabu. Sabu, also known as Terry Brunk, wrestled in ECW, wrestled in WWECW, wrestled in WCW. He was, I think he was part of that early Nitro, early Monday Night War era, of WCW. And someone correct me if I'm wrong. And when I say this, I don't mean it to come out sounding disrespectful or, cold or rude or anything other than this. And, the style of wrestling, and I just saw 2 or 3 weeks ago, WrestleMania weekend, he had his retirement match against Joey Janela. There was a lot of barbed wire I've said it here on the podcast before, that style of wrestling is not my style. I think wrestling is dangerous enough, but then you throw in light tubes and thumbtacks and barbed wire and glass and it's not always, and I think a lot of times in these ECW especially days, that stuff's not gimmicked, or I'm assuming it's not. These guys are legitimately, and women these days are legitimately, when they have a regular match, putting their lives on the line, and they multiply that risk factor by a lot when they get in there. So nothing but respect and appreciation, admiration, but I prefer not watch those style of matches. I've had friends send me the clips of when Sabu went out and into the all the barbed wire that was right there outside the ring in his retirement match. It's just hard to watch. And especially when it's a 60-year-old man doing that. And again, this is not meant to be disrespectful or to undermine or underappreciate what Sabu did. I do think he is a true trendsetter is not the right word, a true trailblazer in the world of like that genre of wrestling, which obviously has a niche and has a following and an appreciation, whether it's Cactus Jack or Terry Funk, Madman Pondo, I'm just thinking of some of those guys, John Moxley, who's a more modern day version of that. Those guys look to the men and women of ECW to today's guys do. I mean, Terry Funk and all of them were those men and women. I think that it's just dangerous, and to me it's scary at times, but again, I would never criticize what they're doing. I just it's not something that is for me. And again, respect it, appreciate it. And I had the opportunity to meet Sabu back in 2005. Chad and I were helping promote IWA Mid-South. Ian Rotten, is it Ian? Ian had come to town. Chad had actually reached out to him, and then he came to Southern Illinois. We went out to dinner. It was me, Chad, and Mickey Knuckles and Ian. We had gone out to eat at Applebee's, and we found a spot in Herrin, Illinois, the Herrin Civic Center. It was a very interesting venue for pro wrestling. And Ian brought four different shows in 2005. And because of my connection and Chad at the time too, to the TV station, we were able to have that very first show, April Blood Showers, on April 1st, 2005. That morning, Billy Gunn, who was wrestling that show against the late, great Tracy Smothers, came in with Ian, and we were able to do a couple interview segments with them, and it was pretty cool. And from that first show, they decided to come back later that month. And I think it was that show, and Chad, if you're listening or watching, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was that second show that Sabu came. He did not wrestle. He did not wrestle that night. Axel Rotten was also there. And Sabu was there just for like autograph signing and whatnot. And I know that there are a ton of stories out there about IWA Mid-South and maybe some of the practices, and it wasn't always whatever. But my experiences, I always enjoyed it. Ian treated me very nicely. I never had anything to complain about, you know, other than some minor things. But Sabu, again, I was the ring announcer, so I was kind of in and out, and there wasn't really a proper locker room per se. It was just kind of a room in the back of this big stage that the ring was set up on, and that's where the matches were. And then there was, like I said, just a little room off, if you've ever been to like a high school or a college auditorium, where they have the stage set up, and then there's usually a room or two off the sides of those, and that's kind of where the dressing rooms were set up. And so if I talked to Sabu for more than a minute or two, that would have been a lot. But he was a very quiet, to me, he seemed very quiet. And again, he was maybe keeping to himself more. I don't know. But it was an interesting experience. And I guess he was only, now that I realized that, you know, 20 years ago when this show happened, you know, today he was 60. He was only 40 back then. And I don't know why he didn't wrestle, but he again signed, and people were excited to see him. And that made me happy, because we kind of saw the ups and downs. And I guess this would have been probably right before he went to WWE to do WWE ECW. So, and that's where I saw him again a year later, in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. It was the big show was the ECW champion, and Sabu was challenging. It was the main event. Chad and I and our buddy Randy, and I had a friend Bill who lived in Poplar Bluff at the time. We went and visited with him, and then the guys all went to the show that night at I think it was at Black River Coliseum there in Poplar Bluff. And it was Rob Van Dam was there, and Kurt Angle. I think Rob Van Dam and Kurt Angle wrestled each other, and Test was there. Kevin Thorne, CM Punk was there. We met Kelly Kelly that night. Balls Mahoney signed my t-shirt. So it was a fun experience. It was a fun experience. The big show actually sat outside. Actually, I found out years later that my friend Weston was also at that show. Big Show sat outside the arena, though, and a bunch of fans just kind of said, and this was before cell phones, or before smartphones, I should say. So I didn't have an iPhone. I don't even know if I took my digital camera. Chad had on the My123Cents Facebook page, there's a bunch of pictures that, and I think Chad took all of those. I don't remember if I took any or not. Actually, you know what I did? And here's a funny side story on that. That was the year my middle son started kindergarten, and I had taken pictures on that camera from that ECW show. And I remember I uploaded the Kelly Kelly picture to MySpace, and I lost that camera on the first day of school. I had taken pictures of my son in kindergarten starting school, and I set that camera down somewhere and it disappeared. I say I lost it. I think somebody took it. And I only wish that they would have given me the memory card, because all my son's kindergarten pictures were on there. I digress though. And that just triggered a memory that I had forgotten about. But I remember, because that ECW show was, I think, maybe a week or two before school started. So anyway, I'm getting way off the path here, but I remember Sabu, of course, was popular. He was over. Fans loved him. And again, I don't know why he didn't wrestle at that IWA Mid-South show. Maybe he was injured at the time. He did come back and obviously had a career in WWE, wrestled that next year at WrestleMania. I believe he was part of the ECW's original team against the ECW newcomers. And I mean, we can talk shit all day about ECW's reincarnation and WWE. I tend to agree. I don't think it was good. It is what it is. It was what it was. It gave, though, in my opinion, it gave some of those ECW guys who didn't get a proper farewell an opportunity to come back and do what they loved, and maybe give them a little more longevity, maybe a little more shine to go on and do things years later. Whether it's RVD, or RVD had a pretty good career in WWE. But some of those guys that maybe had been forgotten, fallen through the cracks. Sandman was at that event as well that I just recalled. So I appreciate the fact that they had a chance and an opportunity to do their thing. I didn't realize at the time, somewhere along the way, I realized it, but that his uncle, Sabu's uncle, the late, great original Sheik, we, of course, saw him induct the Sheik into the Hall of Fame that same WrestleMania weekend that I'm talking about. So Sami Zayn put out a tweet over the weekend that that he had been pushing to get Sabu into the Hall of Fame. Definitely Hall of Fame worthy career, without a doubt, between the stuff he did in ECW, the stuff he did in WWE, the stuff he did with WCW. I think a lot of people would put Sabu on their Mount Rushmore of ECW stars. It'd be hard to argue, for sure. So I am saddened to learn that he has passed. You know, on the selfish side of things, you hear when someone just 60 years old, and I'm 52 now, it puts things in perspective again, once again, you know, that loss of life, it makes you think, it makes you wonder, it makes you want to do everything and all that you want to do and live life and have fun. And I think Sabu did that. And I think 3 weeks ago, almost to the day of his last match, of his retirement match, you know, he got to go out and perform that one last time. And I'm happy that he was able to do that. And I hope the fans who were in attendance appreciate, hope all the fans appreciate what he did, not only that night, but throughout his career in the world of professional wrestling. So my condolences, my thoughts, my prayers go out to Sabu, his family, his friends, his fans, anyone who knew and loved him. Wrestling will sorely miss this icon, and I anticipate we will eventually one day see him, whether it's through the legacy induction or through a posthumous induction into the Hall of Fame. I think we will see that happen one day. Let me know your memories of Sabu, your favorite moments, your favorite matches with him. You know, he had some barn burners, whether it was with Taz, whether it was with Rob Van Dam. You know, Sabu was one of the all-time greats as part of the ECW brand, and of course, eventually WCW and WWE as well. A big part of that invasion angle in 97, Sabu, I think Sabu's the one that jumped off the Monday Night Raw letters when Jerry Lawler, I think it was off the letters. Correct me again if I'm wrong, but Sabu was a part of that. And so he will be sorely missed by many. And again, condolences to all who knew and loved Sabu. Friends, thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode. Again, don't forget to leave a review and let me know what you're up to, how things are going for you. And we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.